Hi, you're listening to Adrienne Barbeau and Quality Time Broadcast.
I'm just going to do it one more time.
Quality time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches. Quality time, video games, all the girls, comedy and bitches.
Molly, does anybody want to buy Molly right now and go in this alley? Have you heard experimental music? I'm really into Birkenstocks. Do you have a BMX bike? I do. I have four.
Oh, I hope I got my Birkenstocks on because I'm ready to turn up for Alien 2!
Ah!
Aliens! The biggest sequel since fucking Aliens.
Since Titanic.
The first one.
Which, I don't know if I said this last week, but the first Alien movie had a 97% freshness on the tomato meter.
That's fucking dope.
Rotten Tomatoes. And this movie, 98%.
And a deserved point higher for a reason. Welcome to Quality Time and welcome to Laugh Finder. I don't even know what we're on right now.
Call it Laugh Timer.
Laugh Timer.
I just pray
laugh
for
timer.
1% of
Quality
Laugh Finders.
We're joined by my co-host, Miss Kimberly Ambarosa.
Hi.
Hello, Kimberly Ambarosa.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm super great.
Let's pretend it is a different week and it wasn't 10 minutes after we ended the last
it's
one.
It's so not 10 minutes ago.
And then my brother, my blood, the man of a million voices, Mr. Jeremy P. Woodworth.
I don't know who you're talking about tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is joining us on the pod?
I realize that you guys are very racist, but I decided to come on your show. I'm Mel Brooks this week.
Very Jewish, everybody.
Very Jewish.
Mel Brooks. Wowie. Wow, wow, wow.
I might have made a racist movie called Blazing Saddles, but I love all races, especially Jews.
Oh, that's the worst Mel Brooks ever.
It really is.
It's like if Hitler did a Mel Brooks impression.
Hey, everybody.
I am Hitler pretending to be Mel Brooks.
Hey, everybody, look at me. Jew.
I am actually Jewy Jewison.
It's like if he was an alien and you described what Mel Brooks was like, but very racistly.
I go from Mel Gibson to Mel Brooks.
Speaking of which, I watched Men in Black recently, and it's really funny. Like, the guy that... is his body is taken over by the alien, the difficulty he has in pretending to be human.
Edgar?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Wearing an
Where he's and he's always like clicking his jaw and he can't walk at all. Oh, that's great.
And that scene when he says, I am in a world of shit.
And our last special guest for this evening, Yay! Mr. Tommy Sabazo,
hey!
Everybody.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Thanks for coming both weeks.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Week to week.
Thanks
you're
for
here
making
again.
Both trips. That's so
yeah,
nice of you.
It's only 20 minutes. Eric lives super close now.
Yeah. Tommy is the very, very, one of the very, very successful hosts of Laugh Finder. Correct?
Yes. We make success only in doubt. We make no money.
No money.
Realize if we only had Schlegel and Mayer and Joe tonight, we'd have all of Die laughing here. So.
Yeah, we only need like a couple more. But fuck Todd Moffat. He doesn't need it.
Well,
him.
He's living out in Chicago now,
yeah.
Making shit tons money at some company doing something.
Oh, well, good for Todd.
Yeah, good for him.
I'm
fuck
just
yeah.
the Die laughing fat stand-in.
Yeah, listen, we liked it a lot better when Tok was part of the group and not you. Yeah. We'll be honest.
Tok looked a lot better in that nude suit with a unicorn head.
So we're back again for the sequel to our last show and the sequel to the thing that we were talking about in our last show. It's sequel day. Tonight we're talking about the James Cameron classic Aliens.
Beautiful.
So the first one, directed by Ridley Scott. This one,
yes,
James Cameron. Why did they get a new director? Do you know?
Because of I think of how much they had to talk Ridley Scott out of doing things.
Okay.
Like I feel like Dan O'Bannon. If you if you read a lot about what Dan O'Bannon's the writer of, you know, the original Alien, or Star Beast as he wanted to call it, which terrible name
Star Beast,
he clashed heads a lot with Ridley Scott. There was also a bigger reason. I mean, what was it, 1986 this movie came out?
Correct.
I believe 1986.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is 7 years after the first movie is
quite a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time for a sequel, time. Right?
Oh yeah, wait till Avatar 2 comes out.
can we ask the kids about Dan O'Bannon's other great movie if they've seen it? Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah, shut up. Dan O'Bannon, that's the only movie he's actually directed, is Return of the Living Dead, which is a fucking... If you haven't seen Return of the Living Dead, do yourself a favor.
Brains.
Before you even hit play on this thing, first of all, illegally download it. Don't give it money at all. It doesn't deserve it. But after you illegally download it or watch an old VHS copy of it, sit down and fucking... You need to smoke an entire, like, fucking 5 pound weights worth of fucking dope to your face to really enjoy it.
One of my top five horror films, thanks to Linnea Quigley being so very naked dancing in that film in a graveyard. Oh. So when I say horror, I say it with the letter H or with the letter W for horror.
Oh, horror.
Mm. Horror.
Oh, speaking of smoking 5 pounds of stuff, I went to a head shop the other day and bought a 14 karat gold blunt cone. I'm going to put really good weed in.
Oh, my God.
I realize the name of my new band is going to be Blunt Cone. So.
Blunt Cone. Nice.
Blunt Cone! So, ever since the immediate success of Alien when it came out, because Alien itself was a very groundbreaking movie. I mean, I can speak, I guess, a little bit for my brother right here after seeing the movie Alien. You saw it as a double feature with my parents in 1979 or 1980.
Yes, with Star Trek, the original motion picture.
You saw Star Trek, the original motion picture, and then the second movie that came on was Alien.
It would have been Star Trek and Star Beast.
Yes.
Let me just derail you for a second that this was a magical moment in 86, seeing this with my now dead cousin. Mm. And what were we, 14, 15 years old, seeing Aliens, a rated R movie in Ocean City, and seeing Bill Paxton probably at the height of his fucking goldenness. And we just fucking loved it. We were like saying every fucking line after the movie, game over, man! It just started my love of the Paxton and ended up with The Dark Backwards.
Well, so. to snag a line for another movie, I mean, movies since Aliens have since Alien have been infused with a bit of the good old ultraviolence in every single one. I mean, this is post Scarface. I mean, where we saw Tony Montana shoot up an entire thing, an entire mansion of people near the end of the movie.
Post Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. People are used to blood, guts, and gore and having a story with it. So the inception of Aliens, you know, being 7 years in the making, is really coming to fruition. But one of the biggest reasons why it took so long for this to come out is that Sigourney Weaver did not want to do a sequel to Alien.
Really?
She did not. She had read all these scripts and just was like, I don't like it. I don't like this. But James Cameron had finally done a script where she was like, okay, this seems like it could be something good. And what she liked about it was the mother-daughter relationship between Newt and Ripley in it, which honestly... I mean, when you speak, we can get about how, like, I don't think a franchise has ever done more for, like, having a strong feminine role than the movie Aliens in general.
Yes.
And also emasculating men than Alien. I mean, it's, we can get into that
maybe
a little bit.
Maybe other than the remake to Night of the Living Dead.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Vasquez, you ever been mistaken for a man?
I don't know. Have you?
So,
I put that down. I was like, Vasquez is a badass.
She actually has a penis.
So Sigourney was now in talks to do the sequel, this James Cameron sequel to the movie. And because James Cameron was coming off of the success of Terminator, what he did was This is a real factoid. Sigourney wasn't signing on to the movie, but she was interested. So he floated a rumor out that said, oh, with the success of Terminator 1, he told his manager that, hey, we're just going to cut Sigourney from it. I got Arnold to sign on for this movie. We're just going to cut all of her out, and we're going to have Arnold be the main star. He never intended that to be real, but he floated that to his manager. His manager called Sigourney's manager and said, we're doing this. She signed the next day.
She signed on the next day.
So
manipulation.
So some interesting things about this this movie. Sigourney Weaver was nominated for a Best Actress role in this film.
Oh, shit.
And it was the first time ever a leading woman or anyone was nominated for a Best Actor role in an action movie, because that's what this is. This is the action movie of the 80s.
Fucking
to me.
Awesome.
So, very interesting.
Can I give another made up fact for this movie?
Please.
These are real facts.
I'm just gonna believe.
Well,
this is a
CNN fact for Aliens that I just made up. Is that not only is it such a good movie for female roles, but the Colonial Marines are all convicts that have to be in the military, and of course Vasquez is in there for actually raping men.
I can see that. Vasquez is a badass.
Well, I guess I could also say we didn't mention this in the last pod. Kimberly and Tommy had never seen the movies until last week before we recorded these. And Jeremy and I, we've definitely grown up with these movies. I mean, Jeremy saw
it. I live it.
Young. I saw both of these movies when I was very young. I mean, when you think about I went to go meet Michael Biehn at Chiller
Monster Mania in Baltimore.
I went to go meet him at Monster Mania. You know, I heard another guy in the line talking to Michael Biehn when he came up. He was like, "Dude, you don't understand." He was like, "Some people grow up, you know, kids in the 50s, they watch Cowboys and Indians. They were playing Cowboys and Indians." He was like, "Me, I grew up playing as Hicks and Hudson, me and my brother." Aww. "And we were shooting aliens." And I was just like, yeah, that was my childhood. That is 100%
cute.
How I grew up. So
yeah.
This is the movie that really shaped my life was Aliens more than anything else.
Okay, name three films with Michael Biehn and Bill Paxton.
Three films? Aliens. I'm lost.
Navy SEALs,
okay.
And Lords of Discipline.
I've never seen Lords of Discipline.
Lords of Discipline, I was told he is billed as Wild Bill Paxton.
Yes.
Oh.
Score one for Kim Ambrose. Hoi!
Now,
I
thing that I touched on a
Kim
minute ago.
Kim is so masculine, that's one of the reasons why I love her.
You're like, your name's Kim Vasquez.
By the way, I did meet Jeanette Goldstein. She's not Jewish, who plays Vasquez.
Don't tell the rest
of the
story.
Oh, you met Vasquez?
It's kind of like Whoopi Goldberg. And I met her, and of course, I did say, "Hey, Vasquez, anybody ever mistaken you for a man?" She's like, "Have you?" She said it in a normal voice, but God bless her. And she was right next to Mark Ralston, who played Drake. And I said, and she motioned towards him, like, "You want to get a picture with him?" Like, "No, I got a picture with him. He's my favorite bull queer."
Thank you.
From Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption.
And
that's
then
bull queer.
Roll the music from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Now, one of the things that we didn't really touch on last episode is how significant this movie is to, feminism in general.
It
really is a powerful movie for women's empowerment.
And female forklift operators.
Yeah. And it really doesn't, like force you to see that. It just kind of lets it be. Like, in the first one and the second one, I guess, really, they don't make a point to be like, "Look how strong women are." They make a point to be like, "Look how fucking equal they are."
Yeah.
Like, in the second one, like, when they're stormtroopering out, like, they have arguments like they're all on the same level.
Even Pharaoh that flies the plane, who I thought was actually Robin Duke, you know, it's like,
you
hey,
idiot.
She's
should have seen your
she's
face.
She's flying a plane,
idiot.
And she's a woman. She's got cold tinted glasses on.
Well, that plane did crash.
That's my favorite
it's
part.
Spunkmeyer's fault, by the way. Fucker.
Spunkmeyer. Mm-hmm.
Hey, you get to play Spunkmeyer. That sounds like Jizzmaster. Sorry.
Well,
don't they make cookies?
There was a lot of special
Otis Spunkmeyer cookies. So good to let an alien onto your crowd.
God bless you, Tommy Simbazo.
Was that like on purpose when they were writing it? Did they want to take that?
Especially when they were writing the original Alien, you know, the HR is one of the things they had to do. I mean, if you ever look at the face hugger underneath, it looks like a vagina.
Yes.
Originally, it was supposed to be a giant dick that fucks you in the mouth. You understand that?
Looks like true love to me.
They make femininity a very strong thing in the Alien franchise. I mean, the main bad guy in Alien is the queen.
Right.
The main heroine is fucking Ripley. Yeah. Right?
The only person who survives from the colony is a little girl.
The only one person that survives from a colony, little girl. If you go back to the first one, men are the ones who get fucking fucked over constantly, right? They're the ones that do all the stupid shit that you shouldn't be doing. The first person who gets it, which is Kane in the first one, who basically gets fucking mouth raped. Mm-hmm. They actually talked about it being a female character. They were like, no, we don't want to. Even in 1978, when they're filming this movie, they were like, we don't want to, you know, make a woman get raped. We're going to make a man get raped.
I don't want to seem like insensitive to why it would be important to at some point in history have a woman take a dominant role like that. But what is the point? Like, what was their goal? It works great, but what was their goal? Like, did they go out of their way or did they just see the story form and go, no, this works way better?
Well, I think part of it is scarier too, because it's kind of cliche to be a damsel in distress,
right?
But when you see a man switch that role to now he's the damsel in distress, which is what Kane is. He's just making if you made that a woman role, you're like, she's being such a stupid woman. But we don't question it when it's Kane. You're like, oh, he's exploring, he's tough, he's
like
a
Bill
smart
Paxton
guy, right?
In the second one was a total damsel the entire fucking time.
He's the biggest
game over, man. Shit's fucked up, man. What are we gonna do? Why don't you put her in charge?
Help me, Vasquez.
I've got a little dick. It's pathetic.
So it is a very, very powerful movie. And I mean, the arc of the second one is based on, you know, a mother-daughter relationship between Newt and Ripley. So
you know what I also, that relationship, you know what I also saw a lot of? The third RoboCop movie. Where RoboCop ends up with a jetpack and an orphan on his back.
I hate to say that the idea that Cameron sold Sigourney Weaver, if that's her name, on the whole thing, like, yeah, you find out that your daughter died. Oh, but I'm going to cut that out when I actually release it into the film. So, you know.
I just want to
know. Unless you saw the extended version.
When you sit down, and I'm a father, and I know Kim's going to be a mother one day.
Thank you.
It's one day.
At least months from
now. I'm a stepmom now.
We're
working on it.
When a child comes out and you look at it.
Of your whole.
And it's just beautiful, and it's gleaming and new.
Slimy.
Like a chest burster.
At what point do you look at her and her gleaming beautifulness and you're like, your name's going to be Sigourney.
Right.
And
we shall call her Sigourney.
Where's Sigourney come from?
I think that name came from, like, probably her mom was like, as she was pushing, and mountains separated like the sea, and then fucking rocks came down, and somebody was like, Sigourney. I think that's how it probably happened.
It's that magic moment when you say, what's wrong with its eyes? It's got its father's eyes. That wasn't a dream.
Now, is that her, like, her God-given name, or did she change her name to get SAG?
Yeah. Why would... That's even a bigger question. Who changes their name?
There was probably some, I don't know, a jar of capers that she saw somewhere. It was like Sigourney brand capers.
Her father's name was Jaime.
I don't know the answer to that, Tommy Simbazo, but my question is why? For either or.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that answer.
You have the gift of being called Sigourney.
Yeah.
Why change that?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Big Sig, get over here with your fucking cotton panties and curly hair.
You know, it was
hair.
Probably Sigourgy. And she changed it.
It's not the kind of name you can call out during sex.
You guys want a Sigourgy? That's how you segue from group sex into an orgy.
I just wanted to say I was thankful that when the original Alien came out that Weinstein wasn't involved and he said,
is there any way you can make an alien that'll rape people in the face? And that's how he sounds, pretty
much.
And
then he was like, could I play this alien?
So, the movie picks up 57 years in the future.
I just had a thought. If Louis C.K. was the alien, and it wouldn't kill you, it would just stand in front of the exit to the ship and just start jerking off at you.
Cut to Sigourney Weaver looking like, I don't have time for this.
And then the alien going, look, I asked, but didn't wait for her to say yes.
Look, I'm just glad that the more we learn about comedians, that no comedians are into weird sexual fetishes and would never hang out with like Kim Ambrose. So
Thanks, man. I needed that.
So God bless Aliens. One of my favorite films. It picks up 57 years in the future from when the last one ended. Mm-hmm. She's been in hypersleep. She gets picked up by the company.
By a salvage team. Finds the ship.
Weyland-Yutani
comes and picks her up. She goes back and talks to Paul Reiser, who has been added to the cast. He's a company man. And Jeremy, you had something you wanted to say about Paul Reiser's character?
I was really amazed with that scene when she calls him out on sending them out to the derelict spacecraft. And this is kind of like the scene the way I saw it. Burke, I looked at that thing. You called them out there. Hey, Ripley, it was a bad call. It was a bad call. You know, I mean, we're going to make a lot of money off this. You know, it's because, I love money. Hey. So,
you had to make it extra Jewish.
Hey, why don't we get the monies off of this?
Oh, is that Mel Brooks?
I'm Mel Brooks! Sorry, David Shofar. I'm sorry. This is the theme from Mad About You. Which also had, I think, Sigourney Weaver in it. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. So
that worked out amazing.
I didn't realize how much I loved Paul Reiser until Stranger Things 2 came out, and then I watched Aliens, and I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah, he's so good.
I love
him.
He's
so Jewish.
Yeah, so you know, I actually saw when I worked over in Pikesville, definitely very different from... Pikesville is Israel of Maryland, for those of you who don't know.
Little Israel.
And, I was going past this place called Bethel Temple, and they had giant banners out that said, you know, September 28th, Paul Reiser is flying here.
Doing what? Is he doing comedy?
Doing comedy at Bethel.
At Temple.
At Temple. So he's in the Temple circuit of like ultra rich Jews.
That's smart.
And he's fucking making a killing this whole time.
Now, I always thought, I could have swore for the life of me that Mad About You, originally it wasn't Paul Reiser. That it was, who's, God
it's
damn it.
James Remar.
No, it's the guy from, who's James Remar?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
I had to give him the finger
Who's the comic that's on Curb Your Enthusiasm? It's Larry David.
Oh, Richard Lewis.
I could have swore it was Richard Lewis in that role.
Oh, God.
I'm sure.
That would be so much Jewier.
I thought it was, and I thought they were like, a little too Jewy.
Hey, do you remember watching Robin Hood Men in Tights with Paul Reiser? Hey, listen, Dave, I get it. You're mad. You were near a horse's balls. I get it.
I have a lot of fun storming the castle.
So the movie picks up 57 years in the future. Uh-huh. They break Ripley out of the pod. Actually, for a brief second as they open the pod, you can still see the little harpoon stuck in the spaceship door there.
Cool. Are you serious?
Cool. Yeah,
it's there.
There'd be like at least an inch gap. She'd have to go in the sleep in the fucking space.
No. The door.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No.
In the door.
They use a torch to cut open the door, and then they send in a thing. It's like,
and for a brief
like
second,
sweeping
you can see
it. But on the ground, the harpoon.
The laser
is.
From the Who again.
Yeah.
And you can see the little harpoon gun still stuck in the door there.
Oh, right, you're going to make me watch this again.
Yeah, it's going to blow your dick off, brother.
Yeah, bitch. Watch it again.
God.
So they free her. Her and the cat are completely fine.
Fuck that cat.
This cat. I'm so over this cat.
How great would it have been if they were like, your pod was fine, but the cat's malfunctioning. Just the...
is there any way we can tie the cat into like a thing suggesting female pussy?
Women do love cats. So maybe. Because
the alien is about the put. No, sorry.
Oh, Jeremy. But
do we have to sexualize everything? The cat, Freud?
It is a female cat.
So they
I did read that.
They go to convince Ripley that they really need her to check out the moon now, which now has a colony there.
Which, that is all bullshit. I want to say, because Ripley's job with the company was a pilot. She piloted, and they're trying, 57 years later, they're like, hey, you owe us $47 billion.
All right.
Giant ship you blew
They're
up.
Pimping her, basically. Yeah. They're like, you have a debt to me. You need to work that off.
Yeah, and then she was like, no, there was, we got a distress signal. We go. There was alien life form that got on thing, and they're like, no, we have no proof of this. It's just,
right.
You just, all we know is that you guys landed on this planet, and then you fucking, you just blew up our fucking ship, right? So mm-hmm. she gets fired, and she loses her pilot's license, ends up working on the dock, working mechs, which I'd much rather work a mech than a pilot a giant ship. But then when they do make her go, they're, Paul Reiser's like, look, you gotta go back up there, you gotta check it out, we really need you. And she's like, why? Why do you need me? And she's like, and he's like, well, because you survived it, so if anything happens you might have insight, which is like asking someone that survived 9/11 to be like, hey, that house is on fire, go and run on in there, you have certain skills.
I know you're really good at running down stairs, Ripley, we know this. We know that you this can planet, get down
this,
to the bottom.
This plane is full of stairs. I figured you might be able to go in there, maybe get people down those stairs. So, that's not a bad Paul Reiser.
No,
okay,
that's not bad.
You know, that was pretty good.
I'm Paul Reiser.
Do you want to know what my Paul Reiser in my head? This is a very inside joke for everyone here, but it's literally, imagine Drew Landry 30 years in the future, and that's my Paul Reiser.
Wow.
So anyway, Drew Landry, look him up. Great comic, guys.
My favorite bit of Paul Reiser's. The one describing the long sex act.
I just want to say, Michael Friedman as Paul Reiser, it was a bad call, Ripley. Next card. So,
we need you to go to that planet.
I feel like I just need to say James Finn's name at this point.
Okay,
because
cool.
We got that in.
Is James Finn Jewish?
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
He's as Gentile as he is in the bed. Anyway.
He could be a Jew.
So, Paul Reiser reluctantly convinces Ripley to go along with this.
Well, the way they convince her is he says, look, if you go do this, we'll give you your pilot's license back, and you'll have a job at the company.
Well, there's all types of sweet stuff. Lots of sweet perks, right? She's 57 years in the future. I mean, she doesn't have a living relative anymore.
Yeah,
her
daughter died like 2 years or something.
Her living daughter is dead. Yeah.
She's
going to
get like
the
gold Obamacare plan.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. she's...
Well, in the future, it's Trump Care.
It's a total reset of her life. So she's like, all right. And they also say, hey, you're going to be surrounded. I realize you say that there's this giant monster beast. I get that. We're going to have you with colonial marines. These are guys of the toughest, the baddest ass. They got a lot of hardware with them. They're not going to have to worry about it. So she goes off, and the way the movie was shot was really interesting. It's shot out of sequence. A lot of movies are, but the opening scene where she gets to meet all of the Marines, it was shot at the very end of all the shooting. So because James Cameron wanted to have like a camaraderie, so when you meet everybody, they were all buddy buddy, which ended up working out pretty good. You get to
I just want to say, I wrote this down about the whole meeting when like she's getting fired and everything, and her asking her back. One, the ship was called the LV-427, was the name of the large ship. And they want to send her there because they now have, they now are sending space colonists. They're terraforming these planets, and they're terraforming that planet that she went to.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy actually uses the phrase, they're shake and bake colonies.
Yeah.
Because apparently, that far into the future, shake and bake is still a term that means easy prepared. Which you could ask a millennial right now. They'll have no fucking idea what shake and bake is.
No, you mean microwave?
Oh, you mean that bowling skate place in East Baltimore?
Is that like pizza to go's? Or
I just made a Chef Boyardee the other day with my shake and bake. Chef Boyardee is now the best pizza in the universe.
You get to meet some of our new favorite characters. You meet Drake. Of course, you meet Vasquez, who is another very strong woman character. You get to meet Corporal Hicks and Corporal Hudson, which are my two favorite characters from the film, which are beta males, if we're going to be honest. Both of them beta males, all right? Not alphas.
Vasquez is the alpha there.
Vasquez is the hardest motherfucker on the
block. Everybody was on Vasquez. His ass in this movie. Anytime she did something, they'd be like, classic Vasquez. Yeah, Vasquez! Just high-fiving Vasquez!
Vasquez in the back getting her dick sucked again. Fuck yeah.
Vasquez!
I hate to say how Apone is the alpha male, but at the same time, did you ever see Love and Death? By Woody Allen, where Woody Allen is...
I'm a huge Woody Allen movie fan. Give us your Woody Allen impression.
Hello, I'm Woody Allen.
Mel Brooks, is that you?
I am also Mel Brooks.
My parents hated me so much, they gave me a toaster to play with in the bathtub.
I would love to have sex with my Asian girl slash daughter.
You need more hem-hawing. You'd be like, well, I, my mother gave me issues.
Okay, this is actually funny. Love and Death, where he joins the French army in like 1700-something, and of course there's still a black drill instructor saying, "What you looking at, boy?"
Well, interesting. The actor that you brought up, who plays Apone, was actually a real drill instructor sergeant from the military,
the Black Arleigh Ermey.
On top of that, he was the first black drill instructor
ever
to be in the Marines to ever be elevated to a sergeant status a drill sergeant during his tour in Vietnam.
Wow, that's cool as hell.
So it's cool. He's a legit, kind of the same way Gunny in Full Metal Jacket is a real drill sergeant too. It's very realistic stuff that they picked up for both those movies. And another really interesting fact, the movie Full Metal Jacket was being filmed at the exact same time as this the cast would go out and they'd go party with each other. They're like, yeah, we're filming a space movie about Marines.
Gosh.
So all those guys would go out and get fucking hammered together while they're on the set.
Oh, nice.
So that's
you
really
know what
cool.
I noticed? Camaraderie is a huge deal in both these movies. Like they make it, especially in the second one. The first one, it's always like the dinner scenes, but the second one, it's like everything they do together is like they're a fucking unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's good. And I mean, James Cameron filmed it in a way where they were already buddies when they're at this point. I mean, they've already been through all of the filming and this was the last thing that they
did. That's smart.
So it worked out really good. And yeah, I think it shows during
that first dinner scene. Mm-hmm. That's when we see Bishop do the famous knife trick, which I've seen in a million other things. But that, so they take him, they take Bill Paxton Hicks, they take his hand and put it.
No,
he's
it's
like,
Hudson.
Sorry. Hudson. He's like, what are you doing, man? And like, then he does the knife trick. He slices his finger a little bit.
The weirdest bit.
Yeah, and a little bit of white android goo goes down, and Ripley loses her fucking shit.
Yeah.
She's like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. You got a synth on you? Like, spits in his mouth.
She doesn't she treats him like Irish at the turn of the century.
Oh, yeah. And he's all like, I am, what are you talking about? I'm not, and then he asks her what model it was. He, you know, always blames the victim.
Yeah, yes.
Wait, what model was it? She's like, oh, an A-13. He's like, oh, they were way glitchy.
I don't know which model of Android was, but whatever he says, I think he meant to say, oh, that was a little rapey model.
That was the rapey one.
That's the rape bot.
They were always raping. Now, of course, I met Lance Henriksen like a couple years ago, and of course, me being the mega fucking nerd, I had to find at least a knife that was close to the knife that he used, which I brought in, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to meet a celebrity. I'm going to hand him a really sharp fucking knife, but I'm going to try to do it so I don't seem like the creepiest motherfucker in the world. So I handed it to him. He's like, oh, this is really, really sharp. And I'm like, can we do the scene where you put your hand on top of my hand like you're going to do the thing? And yes, I got the fucking picture with him on doing the fucking knife scene. So
What model was it? Oh, no, that's just a medieval Roomba.
It was a cheap knife, probably off of Wish, if Wish had been around then. But,
By the way, Lance Henriksen says one of his favorite scenes doing the redo of The Pit and the Pendulum with Stuart Gordon, where he played it really serious as a guy during the Middle Ages, during the plague. He's like in front of everybody, he's like, "One church, one God," and then he hears this motor scooter. He's like, "One motor scooter." So,
now, interesting little factoid about that opening scene where you see him come out of hypersleep and they're all in those giant pods. Apparently, those giant fucking sleep pods, very expensive to make. Each one of them cost about $4,500.
Oh my gosh!
Stop.
And because they had like 12 or 15 people in the cast, they could only build 6. So the way it was shot was with mirrors, yes, and other stuff.
Oh,
so
nice.
It made it look,
oh,
nice, like there was a lot more than,
oh,
there was.
Man.
So just an interesting little factoid about how they saved money and how James Cameron is a real.
And you're pissed you had to spend $13.50 to get into this movie.
Yeah, in my remake, it's just old refrigerators I found at the junkyard.
and how James Cameron was a good director, okay?
Yes.
Was a good director.
Yes.
So,
but this is also when Ripley starts describing exactly what happened in the first movie.
I have a note, really appreciate the first movie catch-up monologue.
Yes, but Vasquez is the one that starts making a jerk-off motion, like, whatever. And she's like, all I need to know is where it is so I can shoot it,
yes,
or something like that. And everyone's
all
like,
friends,
you're badass, Vasquez!
Where it is and where they are.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
said aliens. They thought that somebody said aliens joined up the Corps.
I'm sorry, all your friends are dead. I just have social problems. I'm sorry.
So, the Marines are not impressed. They think
no.
Ripley is a fucking pussy. Although they are kind of impressed that she knows how to work the giant mech loader, which is pretty dope.
She's a pilot for $47 billion things.
Yeah.
And they're surprised that she can work a forklift. They're like, because she's like, where do you want? Because she's like, what can I do? And he was like, what can you do? She's like, I can drive one of these forklifts. He was like, can you? And they just show a scene with her turning it around and picking up a box. And then she poses. And she's like, where do you want it? And he was like, on the fucking ship.
Those are cool as fuck.
They
you could
are,
totally
yeah.
pay to do that. People would pay to wear those things.
Oh, yeah. I was watching it. I'm totally like, I could totally build one of those.
Yeah.
Out of
some foam.
I will tell you, one of the coolest things ever is in, like, I think it was in, like, the late 90s or mid 90s at the Science Center. They had a Baltimore Science Center. They had an Aliens, the movie display.
Stop.
And they had the giant forklift thing that you could get up in.
Oh, my
and then,
God.
Like,
oh, shit.
You couldn't walk around with it, but you could get in it and take a picture. It was fucking
oh, nice.
Pretty awesome.
One of my highlights of my 90s was the load lifter drum set that Joel Hodgson plays on MST3K.
Yes. Oh, God damn it. You brought a deep cut in. I wasn't even ready for that one. One last little interesting factoid. They were unable, all of the original stuff from the first movie was totally destroyed. They couldn't do any of it.
Yeah, it was almost 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago. None of it existed anymore. So, like, that whole pod scene where they had to cut Ripley open and all that, none of that stuff existed. They had to recreate that just based off of the movie. So they had watch the movie again, and they just rebuilt all of that
this
shit.
This is my argument again every time. Real fake blood as opposed to CGI blood. Like, the Iron Man suit, like all this shit, like when Ripley gets in that thing, it is clearly a stockpile of Home Depot stuff. It's like pipes,
right,
spray painted yellow, but it looks cool as fuck because you can see it's real.
Some guy off camera with one of those whistles going,
whoosh, whoosh.
It's the black guy from Police Academy that
actually
sound
effects, Michael Winslow.
But when you see something like that and you know that the actor is literally inside exactly what you're seeing, there's something just so fucking, it's like a little kid inside you is like, I want to do that.
Well, I heard
a little fact that you didn't know, it's actually Michael Winslow does the entire film. That's every sound that you hear is from Michael Winslow. Ripley's voice, Apone, he's just like, wherever you want.
I did
give
this
me a
short
comb. Give me a fucking comb, I need to make a hovering sound.
I did this short little film for some for a benefit for this comic, Joe Dealey. We're trying to raise money for him to get a scooter. So I did a short little film in my car where it looked like I was in a mech pod, and then I used some app that had mechs on. I made this little movie, and I asked Restivo if he would take, if he would just do all the sound effects, and he wouldn't do it. And I was like, well, never mind that.
Well, great, Chris. Thank you.
Would have been amazing.
Thanks a lot, Restivo.
He just wanted a scooter.
You might as well be James Finn.
It was good, but it was almost Make America Great. Mm-hmm. So,
Once they get on show, I just want to throw this in there. Another thing that I heard in the last movie, and I hear in this one, I've heard it on StarCraft and everything in games, the phrase, in the pipe, 5x5. When you load everyone into your ship, you're like, they're in the pipe, 5x5. And then that just means that you have your ship's
My
fully loaded.
My dick is so hard right now. That's so awesome.
The only other choice is to do a 7-tier-0-9-er.
Yeah. So they drop...
Or an 8-1-7.
They drop Ripley and the Colonial Marines down on the thing. And interesting note, Apone says, 10 seconds till we hit the ground. And if you actually count in the movie, it seems like a really long time. It actually is 10 seconds when they hit the ground.
That is a
right
pet
there.
Peeve of mine
I
in movies.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I hate that. Yeah. When they're like, okay, it's 10 seconds, and then it's clearly 30 or 7. In the movie Super Troopers, when they're doing the meow prank, he actually does it 11 times. And when he holds the 9 up to him, like, he does it 10. Like, if you count when he does them, and it just fucking eats me up inside.
Have you ever watched a movie? I do this when I watch a movie and their character goes underwater.
Yeah.
I'll hold my breath.
Me too.
And see if I can hold my breath as long as they do.
Yeah, Titanic almost killed me.
And I would totally die every time.
Yeah.
I realize that my lungs are not made for movie quality violence.
Yeah. I know you look at this body and you think that guy knows how to breathe.
So they immediately go down. They go to this distressed part of the colony that isn't responding. They send in the Marines, and Ripley is watching from a fucking badass car.
What's the name of the colony? Hadley's Hope.
Oh, wait, I got
Hadley's
it. Hadley's Hope. All right.
Sorry.
We're going to go with that?
Yeah, the name of the planet
I know it's Hadley's Hope.
LV-426. Yeah. That's the name
of the
planet.
Yeah.
So, Ripley is sitting in a badass armored car, which is dropped out of the back of a badass armored plane. Mm-hmm. And this armored car that they built was originally one of those like things that tows like 747s around on a thing. You know those giant fucking open style cars that they have on like tarmacs and stuff like that? That actually is one of those vehicles that they armored out to make it look like a badass military vehicle.
It was actually a Pontiac Fiero.
A Space Pinto.
I love the part when they're like, turn the corner, and it cuts back, and it's the boxiest thing you've ever seen try to hook a corner ever.
No, it can't.
Ever.
It can't do that. Only Ripley can do it. By the way, you drive forward with a fucking, like
stick shift. There's no left or right. It's just,
We drive with levers. They literally go to steampunk technology to drive this car.
It's the exact same thing they did in Wild Wild West in the Spider, where they just go one back and two back and one, and it's like a code you have to put in.
I like what after, well, later on, but like she's already crashed this thing. It's not going any further because the axle's broken, and the guy started, ease it back, ease it back. She's got to pull the lever.
Okay, is that not exactly how a guy talks to a woman when she's having a rage during her period? He's like, ease it down. Ease it on down. I'm going to need you to bring it down.
And it never works.
You can't talk to my mother like that. I know she said that to you, but you need to bring it on down.
So we
that's why my wife uses the word cunt more than any other woman I've met in my life. So
we find out very quickly that the Marines are in more than they bargained for. He's telling everybody to stay frosty. Mm-hmm. They go into the depths of what looks like H.R. Geiger's fucking nightmare.
It's so
and
awesome.
All of a sudden, they were like, I'm getting readings everywhere, and they just start coming out of the walls. There are hundreds of these things everywhere.
Favorite Bill Paxton line right there. Stop your grinning and drop your linen.
Oh, that's the worst. It's so bad.
It looks kind of like a secreted resin.
I feel like he made that up and just wanted to say it.
No,
No. And he was like, no, I got it. I know what I'm going to say.
On, guys. All those great lines that Bill Paxton says in this movie are improvised.
Oh, nice. He literally, so ridiculous.
They just gave him, game over, man, game over. Why don't you put her in charge? All of that shit improvised by the great Bill Paxton himself.
Bill Paxton.
I've got a little dick.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Now, all of you are not true Bill Paxton fans unless you've seen the video for Fish Heads by Barnes & Barnes, which was directed by him. So
I saw it ages ago.
Yeah, good times.
SNL.
We have a moment of silence for Bill Paxton. I got a little dick. Yeah. Sorry.
So Ripley ends up going out to save the rest of the Marines' asses as they get ambushed by the aliens, drives them out of there.
Which they get in there, and they find out that they're under the cooling tower for this thermonuclear facility, and they tell them, they're like, look, no rounds. You can't take all their bullets, put them in a bag, but you know who keeps their bullets? Vasquez.
Yeah.
She's a badass.
And Hicks, he keeps his shotgun. He was just like, what are you, can I,
I thought it was Dietrich.
I need that from you. He was just like, I keep this for close encounters. Sorry, sorry, Charge. Like that. That's a personal one. You can't take that one. So, which is, what's more American than saying you can't take my guns, Sarge, to another government
in
official?
In the military. Yeah,
that's badass. That's badass.
What are we going to use? Strong language?
How fucking nerdy was that guy that was like, I told them to cease fire, and then he just had like control issues on his face. He was like, you're not doing what I said.
Fucking Gorman.
Have you ever played a video game with like a 5-year-old? And they're like, no, jump over there. Okay, come back and then get me and then come back. And you're like, I want to go forward. I just want to go forward.
It's
and
interesting.
Grandma's like, how do I use this Genesis controller?
Honestly, that's called the world fucking you, right? Uh-huh. And I've had a hard time explaining that to my 6-year-old, how the world just fucks you. And like, there's no easy way to tell a 5-year-old, the world just sucks sometimes. Yeah, and it's not going to go your way.
Listen, hey, buddy, you know how people tell you to dream? Yeah, don't listen to them.
No.
Today on Children's Corner, this is a book called The World Fucks You.
Bend over and take it.
This is for 3-year-olds on up.
Some people call it adversity. It's called, the world's out to get you constantly. You need to understand that. There's no way around it.
This is my second children book called Rape Squad.
The best you can do is push out your...
I got to stop buying all these Woodworth books.
Well, the world is out to fuck you as they could, but Rape Squad, I wait until my kid was 5.
I have this one by Jeremy Woodward called Fuck You Moon.
Fuck You Moon. That's great.
Fuck You Moon. I don't think they're...
It was dedicated to Keith Moon.
There's no pictures. He just traced his dick on every page.
Fuck You Moon.
Oh, illustrations by Eric Woodward. Okay.
This is a photocopy of someone else's driver's license. This is weird. I think he committed a crime. I don't know what kind, but it's bad.
God damn it, Charlie. Hold yourself together. First of all, just the level of sound that produced on the screen.
I hate you.
I need another beer.
So, Ripley bails everybody out, starts having fights with people. By the way, the plane is destroyed, so they can't leave the planet now. They are in Fuckedville right now.
Fuck.
So they have to slowly call Bishop back to come and rescue them because the pilot has been already taken out by another alien. They're in Fuckedville right now,
well,
guys.
Because,
in Fuckedville.
The base is going to explode in 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The plane to get the alien takes out the pilot, the plane, which that's always that's a funny scene too, because what's her name? Pharaoh? What's the pilot's name?
Pharaoh.
So Pharaoh's in there and she tells her co-pilot, get in the plane, and he
Spunkmeyer.
He goes and puts his hand on some goo and he's like, what is, she's like, he's like, hey, there's, she's like, get the fuck in this plane. So he gets in and then she's like, oh god, it took you long, and she turns around and it's the alien, like, and she, and then the alien's like, I put your tray tables up. And then she goes to pull her gun. The alien's like, ah. And all they see, they just see them. Oh, here comes the plane. Everything's fine. Yeah. And then it starts losing control and it smashes into the ground. They're like, run. And it rolls and explodes. And that's when Bill Paxton says his famous line.
Game over, man. Game over.
What the fuck are we going to do, man? Yeah, that's when Bill Paxton says that.
You don't like me? That's okay. I'm sorry, that was Indian Summer. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. They end up having to go back in for... I'm not sure the reason why they have to go back into that fucking hellhole other than just waiting in a car.
Well, because the little girl says, she's like, it's getting dark. They mostly come out at dark. Mostly. Yeah, so they have to go into the base. She tells Bill Paxton's character to get every schematic. She says, search every outhouse, crab house, hen house in a 10-mile radius. No, she wants to know.
I like that, though, the motivation for everybody in the rest of the movie is that Ripley says, there's a little girl who survived in there for 6 months. Are you telling me you fucking pussies can't go back out there? And Hudson's just like, fuck that, man. He's the only one that has
any
scruples.
Why don't you put her in charge?
He's the only one that has any scruples in this whole matter.
Peer pressure much?
I don't care that this bitch survived. I'm not going back out there.
Yeah.
Let me just keep me in the armored car until rescue shows up.
Fucking good.
17 days? We're not going to last 17 hours.
Yeah, because it's a long time for them to wait to get rescued.
Listen, good for Jodie Foster and Nell, but I'm not following this bitch anywhere.
So then they go back in. She tells him to get every schematic. They shore up everything but two entrances. And they put auto sentry turrets out there.
Yeah,
and there's
that
cool scene where you watch as like the guns are like,
which is so much better than Call of Duty because you can only put one sentry in Call of
Duty.
These
guys have hacks,
which are what most of my jokes are. Anyway,
boom.
Oh no, that's right. You can have the bomb sentry and the gun sentry in Call of Duty. Yeah. I'm calling it an airstrike.
I'm a Destiny guy.
So what the movie essentially boils? Can we just boil it down
to
the end here?
Okay.
So there's some more cool action stuff. There's a scene where they get stuck in an elevator where
action elevator scene.
Where by the way, James Cameron must love elevators because if you watch Terminator 2, there's a great elevator scene, and in Aliens, there's a great elevator scene where Hicks, Newt, and Ripley run into the elevator as the alien's coming, and Jeremy would like to do a little reenactment of that scene.
Okay, we gotta get in this elevator. Start the elevator going. God damn, I hope an alien doesn't come in. Fuck.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I got the alien acid on my.
It's burning through my chest.
Oh, wow.
This concludes Woodworth Theater.
There we go.
Great.
We worked our way up all the way to the 54-minute mark of this episode just to do that.
I am an indie actor.
Well, hey, at 53 minutes, an alien came out of his stomach, so I feel like we're right on par.
Hot diggity dog!
Make sure we have enough time for the quiz.
It gets to the point where Newt has been abducted. The thing's about to blow.
Oh, no, Newt.
And she's got to go, well...
Yeah, Newt is the Jonesy of this film.
Yeah.
And
with the rangefinder.
What if in Tiffany, in Breakfast at Tiffany's, when she's like, cat, and Newt's just in the alley like, please, they're coming out, it's almost nighttime.
Mostly. So Ripley decides that, all right, I got to go rescue my fucking new daughter that I've just decided is mine. And
which, how old do you think Ripley is at this? How old do you think she was at the end of the first movie?
I'd say 30.
30? So
right
now
there?
She's 87 years old?
She's 87 years old.
87-year-old new
having
mother.
Her second,
that's so hot.
Second child.
That's a pod milf I'd
but
like
you
to.
don't give up your second child this easy,
no.
Okay?
Now, especially after your first one died of old age.
So she picks up a pulse rifle. She picks up a flamethrower. She duct tapes them together because you know what? Women are inventors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
She invents the pulse thrower.
She does that in the elevator as well.
Yeah. She's just like, I got to flick on the fly. I'm a multitasker. All things that dudes couldn't do. Yeah. She's in the elevator and she's like, oh, what am I going to do?
I'm
gonna put this like flamethrower together with a pulse rifle and also put plenty of grenade launchers inside this.
I hope what I'm getting down to level 43 yet. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Sorry. Okay. Sorry, that was comedy.
Basement level, housewares, an alien queen.
So she goes down, and this is where you finally get to see the alien queen, which is the missing proponent, because we, up until now, we know, okay, there's an egg, and the egg makes a facehugger, the facehugger impregnates your face, and then makes a fucking big alien.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does the life cycle go from there? Well, apparently these things go and capture them, so more facehuggers or whatever.
Well, they never explain where a queen comes from.
But yeah, but there's a queen that's making all these eggs.
Yeah,
right?
Which I love the reveal, because she goes and she gets a newt, and then you see like an egg getting like pooped out, and then you follow that poop tube up, and it goes over, and then it turns, and then it's like an alien, like, "What up, bitch? You like, I got my big herd in."
Yeah, it's got
the biggest vagina ever.
Oh, you thought you knew? You had no idea.
And then it's kind of cool because like they're in there, and then like the alien queen is like. And then she has, like, the flamethrower, and then you see two other aliens start to come in, and the queen's like, hold up, everybody. Hold on, she's got a flamethrower. And then, so they, like, kind of back out of the room, like...
Yo, chill, this bitch cray. And by the way, little known factoid, that when they were designing the alien's head, they actually brought in Tyler Perry to add a little bit of black flair to just get it real zanged out.
Is that why the alien was voiced like Madea?
Madea.
Oh, my nerve.
Madea versus aliens.
I'm a early in.
I'm early in.
I'm a early in.
I like...
Oh, the fucking early in.
I so, like to think when the queen was with the other two aliens and she was like, wait, she's got a flamethrower. They just all started singing No Scrubs.
So Ripley proceeds like, oh, you called off your boys? Well, guess what's going to happen now? I'm going to start blowing up all your babies, motherfucker. Yeah. Boom. She fucking fires. Like, she showed kindness, right? The queen
was
legit.
Was like, all right, you can go.
Right. You just want to get your girl? That's cool. Right. I see. These are all my babies. I would wish you the best. Yeah. Take your girl and get out of here. And Ripley's like, fuck that shit.
Yeah, which the whole base is going to be destroyed in a nuclear. She didn't need to do this.
She didn't do any of that. She could have just been like, that's cool. I'm just going to get this and then roll. But she didn't, because you know what? Women are petty. That's what we learned from this movie. They're very petty.
Petty bitch.
You know, she's thinking, just one of these things killed my entire crew.
The whole way out, Ripley ran her car keys along the wall.
If Corporal Hicks was alive, he would just would have gone in, grabbed Newt very like, thank you very much, respect, respectfully, and then he would have told a tale of grandeur about how he did shoot up everything.
But really, he would have come in and be like, "Oh, your majesty."
Now I just have to suck the king's dick and she'll be dead forever.
Guys, I had to fuck my way out of there.
So she ends up blowing up the fucking queen shit, which apparently made her real mad. Detaches herself from her shit tube, and now she's on the goddamn move.
Which, again, looked like Kermit the Frog running. Like, it had no idea how to move.
She gets all the way up there, and then all of a sudden, she sees Bishop, and she's like, sweet.
Well, hold on. She sees them get on the elevator, and, like, she's running towards, and the doors are closed, and she's like, hold the elevator, and the doors close, and she has to wait for the next one.
Yes. So, they get back up to the launching pad, and Bishop, they think everything is safe, and then cool. Fucking all of a
clear
sudden,
solid.
This bitch queen has taken the elevator all the way up.
Oh, shit.
And then all of a sudden, you see a giant, which is one of the most iconic scenes from the movie.
It happens. Bishop, 2 hours, 23 minutes, and 50 seconds in, queen takes Bishop.
Yeah, queen takes Bishop, fucking impales Bishop with his tail.
I see that.
I saw what you did
which
there.
Which is another great scene of a phallic symbol used by a woman to destroy a male symbol. Oh. Right there. Boom. Solid.
Yeah.
Doing it to him tonight. Eric Woodworth, feminist extraordinaire.
She may be a queen, but she has a like a giant penis or has a tail. So
with that, which makes her a drag queen. Bishop, a drag queen alien.
Bishop then gets ripped into.
My name's Justicia Bercher.
Justicia Bercher. Then while Bishop is getting ripped apart, now the queen has turned her focus onto Newt. She's coming over towards her, and then all of a sudden Ripley appears in the fucking mech fucking forklift.
I wrote down CDL to the rescue.
Yeah.
Thank God I went to that Votech school.
If it wasn't for PVC pipes and a dream, we'd all be fucked right now.
And then, quite possibly, the coolest fucking scene in a movie transpires between a giant mech forklift and a queen alien going...
Yeah, yeah,
it's
that fight really scene's pretty intense.
It's badass.
Because at first the queen just rushes her, and then it realizes that she kind of knows what she's doing. Then the queen like takes her time, is like bobbing and weaving with the tail, like. Wah-tah!
I wish when she that happened, they would have cut back to the original scene where she gets in it that in the suit at first, and they're like, "Can you do it?" But when they cut back, the queen's in the scene going, "She did it. She can really work this thing."
The queen's like, "Yes, girl.
Go ahead, bitch. Go ahead."
I didn't know this was a yes queen. That's fucking so.
That's the sound she makes when she makes eggs. She's like, "Oh, yes."
I like she's just like. And then there's blood when she wipes.
Ripley ends up, of course, as in every alien movie, ends up crashing down with the queen into a giant door that's going to release into space. She climbs back up, gets away, hits the switch, closes it, and she is defeated and vanquished the queen. And now has
time for a delicious Bud Light
into space.
And then and she finds a new respect for the synthetic Bishop because he then goes almost human. Which is one of his good lines for
He said like you did good
for
a human
And
which is like, it's just he's
oh my God
he's torn asunder he's in twain right now it's just his torso and when she starts venting the alien queen grabs her ankle and so there's still all that and now Newt is getting sucked towards the thing and Bishop's the one that grabs Newt
nice
and it's pretty badass and you know now Ripley. Maybe technology's okay if it's trying to save me. I'll dig that. And they all fly off into space. And
I put here again, no bras in space.
No bras in space.
They don't need
no bras
space
in
bras.
Space.
Speaking of coming around to technology,
Jeremy, you look like you're very puzzled.
I'm worried
like you have something.
Where you came from. This thing, he's almost human. It sounds like from another movie. And I can't.
No,
place
I can't.
It.
I don't. I messed it up clearly, but. I thought he says like something like mostly human.
Yes, pretty did. Good for a human. Yeah, Tommy exactly. had it. Yeah,
I Mandela affected myself. Okay, I apologize.
But you're mixing it with another movie, man. I can't place it. So
I'm sorry. I fucked up. Okay.
No,
I was on my P's and Q's the whole film. Okay?
I'm enjoying it. So I'm just glad it wasn't me.
Did you watch the show Almost Human?
No, never seen it. Never seen it.
I think that's what it was called.
More human than a human. More human.
No, I watched that Mark Cuban show called More Cuban Than a Cuban.
Can I do the super quiz?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Jeremy prepared a bunch of questions, and this is a super level quiz.
Almost impossible.
Is this open up to all of us in the panel? There's some that he gave me the first couple, and I knew like one out of the three. So you guys are fucked.
This is mainly for Tommy, because Tommy will have a chance at the impossible quiz.
All right, so here's Jeremy
Kim
Woodworth.
Has just as much chance as I do.
Jeremy Woodworth with the impossible quiz.
Okay. I know Kim might get some of these, but this is mainly for Tommy, because I think he is a nerd of nerds and nerdsdom.
I just watched this movie the other day.
You better know everything about this fucking franchise right now.
Chopping a finger off.
Or I don't get a dog. Is that what...
By the way, this quiz is way too hard. It just doesn't need to be
you
this.
You have to pass this dog to get... You have to pass this quiz to get a dog. That's why...
Let's start with the easy one. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. What was the special order from the original Alien?
The special order?
Yes, the number.
42?
Wrong! 937.
Ah, it's so close.
Okay. Did we already mention Dan O'Ben said in the original write-up.
No, just give us the question, goddammit. Yeah. Let us get one right.
Okay, Dan O'Ben wrote the original Alien where they go to a planet, but it's not a derelict ship. It was a what? And if you know the Dark Horse comics, that would totally give it away because that was
a predator ship.
Wrong.
I don't know.
It was a Arby's,
sex predator
a
ship.
Space Arby's.
It was a pyramid, much like the movie Stargate. Can you name the original Alien actor's name?
Joe.
I am Deja.
Tobey Maguire.
I am Deja.
Tobey Maguire, that's right.
It's something that ends
Xenomorph,
with Joe.
Xenomorph Joe Robinson.
His name was Blackie Blackison. No.
He
was a black person named Bola Jai Badejo.
Yeah, Joe. Yes. I get that. I get partial credit. Joe, yeah.
Okay. It only gets more difficult. Can you name James Cameron's wife at the time during the movie Aliens?
Miss Cameron.
Wrong. Later.
Sigourney Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
I'll give you a hint. She now does the casting for Walking Dead.
Oh. Sharon Cameron. Oh, Cam Cameron.
That's right. Gail Ann Hurd.
That's what is that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The ending music for the original Alien was the music of what composer?
I do know this.
It's from Bruce Willis's blues album.
I'll give you Bruno.
I'll
give you a hint. They also made a song called Oombop.
Hanson?
That's right, Howard Hanson. The romantic theme, which, by the way, was Jeremy, also 30 minutes long.
Jeremy, he wasn't one of the Hanson brothers.
No, he wasn't one of the kids, no. Okay.
Thank you for that misleading hint.
Technically, who was the first person killed on LV-426 in the movie Aliens?
LV-426 would be the engineer.
Wrong.
Well, we know it wasn't the cat.
No, well, from Hadley's Hope.
I know. It's the lady who's the guy or the lady who's stuck in the wall that they have that the thing comes out of the chest.
Wrong.
What about those things that were up in the ceiling with the goo on them?
Wrong.
No, it was the father of Newt.
Father Newt's dad, known as Russ Jordan.
Got one.
Boom.
The character.
He got one right. Okay, now, this one, you had to pay attention from both the original Alien and Aliens. What was on the dinner table in the original Alien and was also replaced in the Aliens and also came back from the original Alien to be in Prometheus?
What food? What was on the table?
What certain object that might have actually moved was on the table in the original Alien?
Oodles and noodles.
Space food.
I'm going to go with ashtray.
He points it out, Ridley Scott, it was a dipping bird that moved back and forth.
Oh, one of those drinking birds.
And Aliens, he replaced it, Cameron replaced it with a little magnetic thing with spears, little planet spears that moved around. Okay. Hmm. Okay, can you...
That was a very difficult question. There's no way even the nerdiest of nerds know that
You
one.
Noticed it because Cameron mentioned it in the thing. Okay, who originally played Dwayne Hicks in Aliens?
Oh, I know this one. Anybody?
Are you going to say it? If you know,
I already mentioned it earlier and gave it away.
Hicks was Bill Paxton, right?
No.
Hicks was Michael Biehn, but he was originally replaced because somebody got fucked up on the set and lost his job.
It was a guy who was a drug addict, and his name was, I can't remember.
Was it Gary Busey?
He was in one scene. He's in one scene of the movie when
They're going into the lair of the aliens on level 3 or 4.
When they first go in, you see him from the back. You can't tell that it's Michael Biehn or not. And that guy got busted for drugs, so they just brought in Michael Biehn after that.
Oh, nice.
So, wow. And because they shot it all out of order, it didn't matter. So, there you go.
I'll give you a hint. He was in a movie called 48 Hours and Dexter.
Nick Nolte?
Eddie Murphy?
James Remar. Really creepy
close.
Fucking
Thank
face.
You. I tried.
Close. Nick
I tried.
Nolte is very close.
Okay, here's the one that you might actually have a chance at. The population of Hadley's Hope.
Oh, fuck.
I love this.
Shit. Do I got to get the exact... If you give me a range...
If you're within 3, I will give it to
3?
You.
3? I was hoping, like, in the tens.
9,000.
400. 400 something.
Technically,
in the movie that there was only a chance of making 157 aliens.
That's right.
Hence, it was 158 because Newt was still alive. Mm. Okay. Now, here is the unbelievably... unbelievable questions you will never answer.
Thank God they get harder. Yeah, it's so easy up to here.
The original Alien, what year was that supposed to be?
The...
you will never get
20,
it.
So the first original Alien is like 2157?
No, does it...
The original, 2122.
Okay, 2122.
I'm not too far. Hence, the sequel was 21...
I was in a couple decades.
I was going to say like 20L.
Here's another impossible question that I only found on the internet. Parker's first name.
Peter. Rosa. Rosa Parker.
I was going to say Blackie, but no, it's Dennis.
Dennis Parker.
Okay.
It was Parker Lewis, actually.
He can't lose.
Okay, if you get this, you are a true genius and a true fan of film.
Oh,
another film where Henriksen, Paxton, and Goldstein played in.
Okay,
other than Aliens.
So Lance Henriksen, Goldstein, and Paul Reiser?
And Bill Paxton played in together.
A film. It's not
a film.
It's not a show. So it's not the show Millennium.
should I give it away?
Give it a hint? I can only name one other Lance Henriksen movie, which is the movie Stone Cold with Brian Bosworth.
I'll give you a hint. They were all vampires.
Vampire the...
Oh,
The Lost Boys?
Blackula.
It was Lost Boys. Oh. That's right. With Corey Haim. No. No, absolutely wrong. That was Near Dark.
Thank you.
Damn
for ruining our...
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Okay, everybody knows that Lance Henriksen and Paxton were killed by an alien, a predator, and a Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who was Goldstein killed from and what other movie, Cameron movie? But not by a Terminator.
By an
Avatar? I mean not by a Predator.
The Ice Water in Titanic.
Titanic, she got it.
Titanic, yeah.
One, nice. I get one.
Okay, the last two easy questions. What was the delineation of the pulse rifle?
Oh, 3 second bursts or...
The name, the number for the actual pulse rifle.
I should know it, but
I don't.
Didn't
pay attention.
M41A.
Oh.
Okay, and the final one. Who does the voice of Mother?
That'd be
Glenn. You'll never get him! It's Helen Horton.
No, I was going to say it was Glenn Danzig.
Glenn Danzig.
You have 3 minutes. You have 3 minutes till you're going to say Stiftus. Mother!
Hey, everybody.
So what was our score, Jeremy?
I think Tommy at least got 2 or 3.
I got one.
But you got Near Dark, so, yeah.
I think
you actually got one right, too.
Titanic.
Yes.
We all got ones.
Great.
Good
fucking
job, Kim.
Great.
Good job.
We did a good job.
I'm scared of Kim because I know she's very smart, but Tom is extra nerdy. He might have gotten more.
I should have, but I didn't.
Well, I guess that's our show, everybody.
We did amazing.
Oh,
we did great.
It was a good one, man.
You should have me on when you guys do the thing.
I've never seen that.
Girl, quit playing.
Well, teaser.
I want to come back inside, and I want Tommy to come back inside as well.
I want Tommy to come in me as a man. Like a man's man.
I want him to play electronic chess with me so he can cheat, and I want to be also.
You know what? How about this? Tommy, can we book you for a future show?
Yeah.
We do The Thing and Big Trouble in Little
Chinatown.
Yes. To Kurt Russell's.
How about 5 minutes for the prequel to The Thing, and then an entire hour to the regular thing?
Now I heard that the guys that when they did the special effects for The Thing, at first they did all practical effects,
yep.
And everyone was like, "Oh, this is great!" And then they were like, "We're just gonna do digital effects."
Mm.
And so the guys still had all this shit left over, so they made their own movie, which is basically like The Thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's all the practical effects from The Thing.
Have you seen The Void, by the way?
Yeah, I did see
it. It's like kind of like The Thing. All very practical, 80s-looking monster effects.
Very
really
Cronenberg.
Very good.
I think they should have called it Star Beast.
I think it should have been called Star Beast. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. It was a really good... this is probably two of my favorite episodes we've ever covered. Oh,
thanks for coming for 2 weeks,
Thank
Tommy.
Thank you so much.
You guys have a very low bar.
Fucking yeah. Yeah, it's not high. It's not high to get to the top. Tommy, where can people find you at?
You can find me on Facebook, where I always share weird, stupid shit. Tommy Cimbazzo on Facebook, or you can listen to me on Laugh Finder Podcasts, laughfinderpod.com, at Laugh Finder Pod on Twitter, and we're also on Stitcher, on anything you listen to podcasts on, you can find Laugh Finder.
Fucking right. And yeah. Kimberly, where can people find you?
Oh man, you know where to find me, at Watch Me Doing This on Twitter, at Panic at the Deli on Instagram. The second Saturday shit show is free the second Saturday of every month upstairs at the Auto Bar.
Fucking right. You can find all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. Eric with a K, comedy with a C. Hop on the Podbean and become one of the subscribers there, or hop on the iTunes, subscribe to us there, give us a 5-star rating, we will read it on the show, and I know we've got a couple saved up, so definitely get them on there. We're going to have a special show for you guys near the end of the year here or the beginning of next. I haven't decided. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. Good evening. Good night.
Thanks for everybody listening to us. We hope you loved it.
Mel Brooks?
It's funny because I actually slowed it down so it almost sounds legit. Boo. Like.